I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's going on, sucky daters? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. And a very special episode for you guys today, because not only do we suck at dating today, but we also suck at being in a proper podcasting area to record this episode. I'm recording from my van, which obviously is always a mess. No secret there. No, we're not new to that part of this mess. But Jared seems a little cramped in his location right now. And Jared, do you want to share with the listeners where exactly you are right now recording this episode?
Yeah, I'm in my wife's glam room closet. That's where I'm at, trying to figure out how to take my mask off. Here's the thing. We have movers here today. Very sweet Mayflower company. If you guys are looking to move at all, you should use this company. Nice little shout out there. We're moving cross country, LA to Rhode Island. Very excited. And then we have the movers coming today. So I needed to find a space that's quiet, that sounds good for audio. And first thing I thought of, closet.
Well, first thing you thought of was a closet, right? So we get on the Zoom video, Jared's in a closet. We're all like, what are you doing in a closet? All of a sudden, Jared disappears. He reappears 3 minutes later in another smaller closet. And if you can imagine a closet, obviously it's not very large, but now imagine a closet maybe like a tenth of that size, and that's exactly where Jared is right now. So
you ever see The Sixth Sense? You know how the kid gets trapped in the closet and the ghost attacks him? That's pretty much the closet I'm in right now. I'm fully prepared to have some sort of paranormal activity occur while this podcast is recording.
Anyways, great episode besides the weird podcasting geography of where we are right now. So where exactly? You're in Rhode Island now. Is that what you're saying?
No. Still in LA. So today the movers are coming. We are moving out of our apartment in Los Angeles. And then our stuff will be making the travel cross country to the destination of Rhode Island. So it's probably going to get there in 10 days. But we fly out tomorrow. Which is insane, man. It's crazy moving. And it hasn't really hit us just because we've been packing and been distracted and busy with other things. And so I think tonight, when we're here for the last time in our apartment that we've lived here for, 3 years, it's going to kind of hit us. It's weird because this is the place, like, even though we weren't living, in the actual apartment while these events were occurring. But, we got engaged while living here. We got married while living here. We got Lois while living here. So there's certainly a lot of memories that we're going to leave behind, but, hopefully knock on wood for better things to come.
And I know we kind of talked about this last week a little bit, but the decision to move to Rhode Island kind of happened pretty quickly, I feel like.
Well, we've always wanted to move back east. I told her when we got together, it was like a 5-year plan. We're going to spend 5 years in Los Angeles, but ultimately we want to move back east. That's the goal. So we just kind of expedited the process, mostly because of COVID, man. Everything. Look at this. I'm recording our podcast from a closet. Okay. If I could record from a closet, I can record from a nice little office in Rhode Island.
Right.
So it's just, everything's remote.
I guess I should rephrase that. The decision to move to Rhode Island was not a surprise. You're right, because you had been planning that for a while, but it just happened much quicker than I expected it to. I thought, like you said, the 3-5 year plan.
Totally. We decided pretty much over the winter that, when we were back east for Thanksgiving and Christmas, it just felt good. I mean, like it always does. And we kept saying to ourselves, why are we going back to LA? Why are we going back to LA?
Yeah.
Just because our stuff is there. That's the only reason to go there right now. There's no work for us here. All of our family is back east. We have some friends here. You. Oh, dude, I haven't seen you in over a freaking year.
Probably over a year and a half. No, last time we saw each other was Valentine's Day last 2020.
Yeah, it was at Amy's house when we recorded live. We had like the live recording with Love is Blind.
With Giannina.
Yeah. Dude, that was like 13 months ago.
You're right. That is pretty crazy to think about. Who are you going to miss more, Tanner or Jade or Nick?
Oh, come on. You can't put me on the spot like this. Actually, so I am going to miss them all mutually, but we've already talked about Nick and Natalie want to like go east this summer and like do a trip over on the East Coast. So they're going to come, and then Tanner and Jade are definitely going to come as well. I'll miss getting together with Nick and have him just rant the entire time. But he's been great lately. Obviously, he's been dating Natalie. That's been out there, so we can talk about it. We got dinner with him on Sunday night, and he's doing really well. They're super happy. I'm super happy for them. That Nick is in love, man. He really is.
So I know that we haven't seen each other in a long time, but I haven't seen Nick in an even longer time, if my memory serves correctly. So I don't know this Natalie girl at all. So can you tell us and maybe like the listeners a little bit about her? I mean, obviously, listen, you know, you're Nick's friend. It's kind of weird to talk about his girlfriend, but just like, what's your impression of her, I guess?
Oh, well, she's great. I don't mind talking about Natalie because I only have good things to say about her. I think she's perfect for Nick. Because as you probably know, Nick needs someone who allows him to be himself, meaning like allows him to talk while also standing her ground. You know, being able to challenge him. Nick has said this numerous times that he wants someone who can challenge him. And Natalie is the perfect balance between someone who can challenge Nick, but also let him just talk and vent. And they're super happy together. And he is, it's great to see because as Nick's friend, and as you know this, we've only really ever seen Nick single. You know, he's tried to date Andy on television and Caitlin and, but like, you know, in our personal lives, the last time I remember him being in a relationship was Vanessa. And, you know, I only saw them a couple times together and obviously it didn't end well. Well, not saying it didn't end well, but they broke up. Right. So seeing Nick just happy in a relationship and head over heels with someone, it's cool, man. It's really great to see. Cause you just, he's smitten and it's weird seeing him smitten, but it's so awesome and she's great.
Yeah. I don't think ever since, Nick and I became friends after him and Vanessa broke up. So I've never really known Nick in a relationship. So I mean, like I said, I haven't seen Nick in a while. I would still consider us very close. It just as you know, obviously with COVID and everything. I'm expecting a more mellowed out version of Nick whenever I get to hang out with him and Natalie.
Hopefully well, I mean, I wouldn't soon, guarantee but... that.
Well, you know, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Well, okay. That settles that, I guess. Thanks for the update on moving to Rhode Island. Like it would have been nice to get dinner before you left.
You're not even in Los Angeles. You're skiing or snowboarding somewhere.
You know, it's totally okay. I'm basically just deflecting because I don't really know exactly where to go next with the podcast here. I do know that we have some listener answers to have you ever been called crazy before, right? You asked that on the Instagram page. And I know we want to get to that a little bit. But before we get to that, there is actually something interesting that happened in Bachelor Nation recently. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of stuff happening in Bachelor Nation that's always super interesting, but... our producers want us to talk about this, and I think it's actually an interesting topic for us to discuss because it sounds like, from what I've read, that Amanda Stanton is now dating Corinne Olympios's ex-boyfriend, and, you know, that violates girl code, boy code, whatever you want to call it. So I guess my question for you is, what's your stance on dating a friend's ex or anything of the sort?
I guess the first question is Corinne really good friends with Amanda?
I think they are. They're always hanging out, I feel like.
Really? I don't think I've ever seen them together. I can't think of one instance.
I remember on their Instagram pages that they were like inseparable for a long time. I don't know if that's still the case, but I do remember because I remember I had this kind of the same reaction as you. I was like, wait, these guys are friends? I had no idea. And then they were like all over each other's Instagrams. So I figured that they were actually like legitimate friends.
All right. Well, that's fair. So yeah. So broken girl code. So apparently Amanda's dating this new guy, Michael Fogle. And it's Corinne's ex. That is weird. So this is what Corinne told Us Weekly. She said Corinne says she knows in terms of Amanda knows I will always be there for her. If she needs me at the end of the day, I'll be there for her. She's been there for me. She just chose to do something that I don't really think is right in a friendship. It has nothing to do with the guy. I mean, goodbye to the guy. That's such a Corinne line. It was more that it really hurt my feelings that someone I considered one of my best friends and family, so you're right, Dean, would even just be okay with doing that when I wouldn't look at them at any of my friends' boyfriends twice. I don't know. It just feels a little uncomfortable. Apparently, Amanda did text Corinne. Corinne said she texted me to, quote, give me the courtesy, which I also really think... I really don't think was the right wording for that. But yeah, she did give me the courtesy in quotes and let me know. Yeah, I mean, if Amanda texted Corinne after the fact, and was like, by the way, I'm dating your ex, instead of addressing it beforehand to be like, hey, I'm going to go on a date and it's with your ex. How do you feel about this? That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, I agree. I guess what beckons in my brain is... was Corinne and this guy super serious? Because if it's like a guy that you went on a date with one time, who cares? But if it was like a serious boyfriend or something, that's obviously a bigger deal.
Well, Corinne's saying it's her ex-boyfriend, so it must be somewhat of a serious relationship. I don't know, man. Girl code, guy code, it is it's a touchy subject talking about dating like one of your friend's ex. I think I rule it out. I don't think you can do it. I think it's just always going to cause friction in the friendship. It might even cause friction in the relationship. It's just not worth it. I mean, there's so many people in the world. I don't know if that one person that used to date your friend is your soulmate.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. I think that, exactly what you said. There's so many people out in the world. Don't pick the guy or the girl that's already been dated by one of your friends, because all it's going to do is cause tension. And it's probably not, on the off chance you guys end up getting married and spend the rest of your lives together. Sure, that's great. But how many people do you have to date in order to find the person that you're going to be with for the rest of your life? And then what are the odds that this is that person? It just it doesn't really make sense to ruin a friendship over a long shot chance.
There's only one exception to the rule. And the only reason I have to make this exception is because if I don't, then I'm a hypocrite. If you're in the Bachelor franchise, this rule does not apply. Because technically speaking, Ashley's good friends with Caitlin. And technically speaking, I am Caitlin's ex. So that would be pretty messed up. And then I invited my ex to the wedding because Caitlin was there. Right. That's really weird. I wonder, was Ashley's not? Yeah, I guess nobody there went on dates with Ashley. Perfect. That worked out well for me, huh? Has Caitlin dated anybody that you're friends with in Bachelor franchise? Because she was on Colton season. You're not friends with him. She dated Blake. You're not friends with him. Or went on a date with Blake.
No, there's no boundary overstepping. For me and Caitlin, I wonder if it's any over the opposite way. Caitlin isn't really friends with Christina or D'Lo or Rachel or Leslie. So, gosh, that list is so long. But in your situation, it's a little bit better because, Caitlin's obviously moved on. Not that she was, upset about dumping you or anything like that, but, she's happily with Jason.
Yeah, she got engaged 2 weeks after she dumped me. She was fine then. She's fine now.
Right. So... yeah, I don't know. I think we both kind of have the similar take on this one, and that is there's plenty of fish in the sea. Don't date a fish that's already been fished by one of your fish friends. Just go find a different fish, right?
Yeah, find a different fish. Bro code, guy code, girl code. You know, your friends come first. Don't throw your friend under the bus. Just, go after someone else. That's it.
All right, well, Jared, why don't you go ahead and read some of the Am I Crazy questions that we had brought in. What do you say?
Yeah, well, we asked our listeners if they have ever been called crazy in a relationship, and we want to know why you think you've been called crazy. So here are some of the responses of people being called crazy and how they responded to it. So one person said, posting a picture on social media so they can see how great I look and asking if I looked good, consider them crazy. Do you think they're crazy because of that, posting a picture on social media so they can see how great they look and asking if I looked good? Isn't that the whole point of social media?
Not crazy to me. It seems pretty normal. Yeah, it seems pretty pretty standard for me.
It's a thirst trap. I mean, Dean, be honest. Have you ever posted a photo on social media with the intent of it being a thirst trap?
Well, 1,000%. There were even times. Was someone knocking on your closet door?
No, that's like a chair dropping. I'm sure probably one of the movers just died. It's okay.
There were times, this might be a little borderline crazy, there were times where I would ask my friends to post things because I knew that the girl that I liked followed them and not me. That might be a little crazy, but I did it, and I felt fully normal doing it, so.
Did it work?
Yeah. Every time they would post, a story or something, it would always be viewed by the person that I wanted it to be viewed by. Pretty quickly, might I add. So, crazy, yes, but effective, also, yes. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I've posted a thirst trap or two in my day. I mean, how do you not? Especially when social media was first coming around, you know, you posted certain pictures of you looking good to maybe hey, this is meant for you, really. Hey, look, I can dress up with the best of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's just that's almost why social media was invented, was so you could make your exes jealous or make the guy that you're crushing on think you're even hotter than you are.
Oh, 1,000. That's why the Instagram filter was created. I'll tell you that much. All right. So the next crazy one is apparently somebody was crazy for wanting their significant other to plan each date. I don't know if that's that crazy.
I think that's a little crazy. I think that each date is a lot. Like, yeah, you should want them to plan some dates, but not every date. Like, if you want to go on a date, take him on a date. I tell that to Kaylin all the time because she's always like, let's go on a date. And I was like, yeah, sure. Date sounds great. Go ahead and plan it for us and I'll be there. You know, like, I'll plan dates when I feel like planning dates. And then I think that if they want to go on a date, they should plan the date, you know?
This is an interesting one. Somebody was called crazy for wanting the guy to open all doors for them.
That one's pretty crazy.
So, like, if Kaylin was like, I expect you to open every door I walk into with you, do you think that would be crazy?
Yeah, I would say you're crazy, yeah. I'd say I'll try my hardest, but I'm not going to open every... Like, I'm not going to have the ability to. I'm not Superman, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? It's 2021. Equality. Why doesn't she open up a door or two for you, huh?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be like, open every door for me, but I think that it's kind of silly to have that expectation for your partner to have you open the doors for them. Just, you know, could be wrong, could be right.
Yeah. Let's see, what else do we got here? Not wanting to share how many people I've slept with. I don't think that's crazy at all.
I also don't think that's crazy. I don't think Kaylin and I have ever shared that number with each other.
Yeah, I don't think it's a number that you really need to know. I mean, certain instances, like you need to know, hey, if we know someone mutually and we hooked up one night, sure, you want to tell them that, be honest. But like, to be like, hey, this is how many people I've slept with without them asking. That's crazy. You don't need to know that stuff. Why would you just want to bring up the past and just have people's feelings hurt? Like, there's no point.
Right. I think the most important thing is how many people have you slept with since you and I slept with each other the first time? Like, that's kind of like the only really real number that matters in terms of a relationship, in my opinion.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, or you could just, you know, date a virgin like I did. needing a title after a month of the talking stage. Huh. Depends on how intense the talking stage is. If you guys are just texting and you haven't met in person, that's a little crazy. But if you guys have been going on dates and hanging out with each other multiple times a week for a month, yeah, put the title on it. Slap it on there. Boyfriend, girlfriend, let's do it.
I think that is a little crazy.
Explain.
I think that, well, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not that crazy. It's always okay, in my opinion, to, like, desire more or, like, have a need that you want filled, right? Like, if one of your needs is having a label on the relationship, then, yeah, it's in your right to go and get that that label put on the relationship. But, like, I think if you have to ask, it's probably not what you want it to be. And so why don't you just, like, sit back, relax, let everything unfold, and I don't know. I guess I'm just a little more laid back than that, but I can see why people would say that. Like, I think if a girlie likes a guy and she's worried, like, the guy is, like, hooking up with a girl or something like that, she would be like, tell me what we are, otherwise, like, I'm going to walk, sort of thing. So I can see both sides of the argument on that one.
Oh, I think it never ends well when you don't put a label on it. Maybe not after a month, but after, like, 2 months. I think guys and girls are just different about this. And I'm right with you, man. I am in the same mindset. I remember in my 20s, like, I was... This girl and I were hanging out and we were very upfront about, hey, we don't want to be in a relationship. We just want to have fun. And I was very upfront about it. So was she. She was like, this is exactly what I want. And then, of course, what happens? I'm going to sound like a dick saying this, but a few weeks in, like, she just wants to be in a relationship and starts developing feelings. And we have this awkward conversation where I was like, well, not much has changed for me. And I felt like such a jerk, but I was upfront and honest in the beginning. And then things changed over time. I just think as a guy, it's so much easier to be like, oh yeah, let's just take our time and not think too much about it and just have some fun. And it never ends up working out in the end. It's like always going to end messy if you have that mindset. That's why I say, just go for it, jump in, commit, see what happens. And then, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's, That's not a bad way to look at it.
All right. Well, we do have a great guest coming up. Well, but we do have to get to our guest, Jocelyn, because she is waiting for us. Jocelyn Johnson, say that 5 times fast, from happypartnerspartnersproject.com is joining us on the podcast next. We'll still talk about some of these crazy or not scenarios. We also have your wonderful emails. So we're going to get to all of that in just a second. But of course, we got to take a quick break. welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Like we said before the break, we have a great guest who's joining us via Zoom right now from the happypartnersproject.com. It is Jocelyn Johnson. Jocelyn, thank you so much for joining us today.
I am stoked to be here. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. So Jocelyn, like I said, you are from Happy Partners Project. So tell everybody listening right now a little bit about that.
Yeah, Happy Partners Project is a relationship check-in process for couples. So that really takes shape as questions on cards. It's a physical card deck. There are over 80 prompts and questions for couples that just are proactive. It avoids the we need to talk moment in relationship, right? It more takes a proactive stance to that. There are five categories: sex and intimacy, which we call connection, future gazing, conflict, refriending, and of course, I'm like drawing a blank on my last one, gratitude.
Very nice. You know, it always, okay. Conversations always immediately are awkward if you're going to start it off. Hey, we need to talk. Like, hey, you know, it's just going downhill from there.
Yeah, that's like, hey, bad news. Like, you might as well just say, I have bad news.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Can you give us some examples of, like, for example, like, I know you have the five categories. So let's go sex and intimacy. What would be some of the prompts under that category?
Yeah, so this, I have one ready for you. So this one is, with eyes closed, by show of fingers from 1 to 10, what number would you give our relationship right now?
And then what would happen?
So from 1 to 10, so I might give, what number would you give your relationship right now, Jared? From a scale of 1 to 10?
Honestly, a 9. I'm extremely lucky.
And if you had to guess what Ashley would give, what do you think she would give?
9 or 10. She better.
She better give you a 9. Yeah, so what's cool about this is that, what is a 9? Like, what does a 9 mean, you know?
It's good.
And so both partners get to decide, like, what is a 9 to you? Like, a 9 might mean that we've, like, been hanging out, we've been going on crazy adventures, I've been, like, traveling with Dean in his van, and we've been having a great time. And for someone else, it might mean, like, oh, we've been holed up in the house and we've watched a movie once together this week, you know? So it just gives the couples a chance to start having a more broad discussion around what is a good relationship. What does a 9 even mean? What does a 3 even mean? And then the follow-up to that is, like, what actions could we take that would bring that closer to a 10?
Because 10 obviously is what we want it to be at.
Yeah.
Can you even be at a 10?
I mean, it is the dream.
I say no.
I think it's not possible, probably. But I do think it is the aspiration.
It's the aspiration, but there's no such thing as a perfect relationship. And I think striving towards a perfect relationship is striving towards something that doesn't exist.
I actually would agree with you on that, you know, perfection is not the goal, but the 10 and the needle may move, right? So what is a 9 for me today may not be a 9 for me in 60 days or even next year or 5 years down the line. But what it does get us to is, like, recalibrating, like, okay, how do we continue to work together to get to the best possible dynamic we want to be creating in our relationship right now at any given time?
By having them close their eyes and hold up their fingers to answer the question, what you're really hoping for is just, like, spark a conversation to figure out what exactly it is both partners kind of, like, perceive as their ideal. And when you say you have those five categories, do you ask that same question for each five categories?
No. So, like, let's pull another one here. We've got refriending. What are the main stressors in your life currently? And what can I do to alleviate that stress for you, if only a small amount?
The main stresses.
That's a great question.
That is a good question. What are my main stresses in life?
How much time do you have?
My check engine light's been on for the past, like, 4,000 miles. That's not good.
Oh, wow.
So his van's going to break down at any point before he gets to Colorado.
That's pretty stressful.
That's very stressful.
You got to see if Kaylin can, like, jump online and find you a, like, repair shop on the way. That's, like, she can be, like, doing the Googling while you're on the road, you know.
No,
road
I know.
Warrior over here.
I think my big thing when it comes to, like, stresses like that is, it's like, I feel like it's my responsibility to fix it myself. So I would never, like, ask Kaylin, for instance, to fix a stress for me, you know?
Yeah, so it's not that she would be looking to fix the stress for you. What the opportunity there is, like, what support could she provide to you as you look to manage your own stress?
Gotcha.
So the example that I gave there, where she's just, like, jumping online and maybe, like, you're on the road and you're like, hey, this is becoming imminent and I'm going to be in snow soon. I'm going to Colorado. So I like don't want to break down on the side of the road with my engine. Right. And if I'm like right in that pass on, you know, that section of I-70 where you're in no man's land, you know? So she may be able to just, while she's on her computer, find some place for you that looks reliable. That would be her supporting in alleviating that stress just even a little bit for you. She's not taking care of it for you. You know, you're a big man. You're a grown man. You could do it.
Yeah, I wish you would just come here, take the van, and put the new O2 sensor in there that the van's asking for, but unfortunately neither of us can do that.
And I think it's important, though, to also have that conversation about the stress that your significant other puts on you, even unintentionally, because I find it impossible that, like, the person in your relationship, there's not anything that, like, annoys you. You know, I find myself sometimes when Ashley says something that, like, rubs me the wrong way. I don't know, an example, but she's like, oh, why didn't you do that? And then it just, it's like the wrong time. And I'm like, you know what? You know what really, you do this that bugs me. And so it just, like, comes off in anger when it shouldn't be. So I wonder if having this conversation and just being like, you know, listen, something that kind of, you know, bugs me a little bit, don't get mad, I don't want you to change yourself, but, you know, maybe it's just something to be aware of. I think those are important conversations to have and probably improve their relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Jared, what's the last thing that Ashley did that annoyed you or stressed you out? Do you remember?
That's a good question, actually. What the hell? So she, this is so stupid, but I feel like Dean can relate, and hopefully everybody just laughs at me for the fact that I'm even saying this, but we're on Cameo, and Cameo is an app where you get to record, like, Ashley and I have the opportunity to record messages, birthday messages, people, and it's really cool, and it's amazing, and I would never complain about it. But sometimes when I want to get that, you know, Cameo's done, I'm like, oh no, these are expiring soon, let's do them now. And she's like, no, I can't do them now. And she's like, I need to do them. I'm going to do them later. Or like, we're standing up and I'm like, oh, let's just do this one right now. She's like, no, I can't do it standing up. I need to like sit down and do it. And I'm like, why? Just get it done. And so that's like, I just remember last night because I was super tired. I was going to bed and we got a notification that Cameo was expiring. I was like, oh crap, we got to do this. And she's like, oh, okay, let me do this first. And I'm like, no, I'm exhausted. I'm going to bed. And anyway, that's the last thing that I remember. So very, very first world of me to even say that.
Hey, but these are the things that like over time, you know, they can add up and they can build up. And if you don't have an ongoing dialogue about them, then it's when you're in that really flared up place that all of a sudden the brain goes back to that. And then you're like, yeah, and remember, like, you never want to do the cameos when I'm ready to do them. And it's like, wait a minute, like, how is this even really, you know, it's like, so giving a proactive space to just air those kinds of grievances and then go back into, you know, gratitude and like connection and talking about the things that like are fascinating you in your life right then sort of like diffuses the charge out of those moments if you're in an ongoing conversation.
That's why I gave our relationship a 9, because if the biggest complaint I have right now off the top of my head is cameos, then hey, it really nothing to complain about. Yeah. So Jocelyn, I was thinking, can you run through some of the cards with Dean and I? Because I would love to kind of play the game and find out a little bit more about Dean's relationship as well.
Yeah. Okay. So let's pull up another one. Okay. This one's for Dean. We're going to be answering on the, you know, Dean's going to be answering on his side, his responses. Ideally, I would be Kaylin and I'd be able to, you know, be in collaboration with him around this, but let's go to solving conflict. Okay. Have I said or done anything consciously or unconsciously? I'm Kaylin. So has Kaylin said or done anything consciously or unconsciously that negatively affected you? Be specific, but not accusational in your explanation.
Negatively affected me? I don't think so. I mean, anything that Kaylin says or does or anyone says or does is really kind of my decision on how I react to it, right? So that's kind of how I always view that. So I would never say that she was responsible for any type of my actions. which I know is like kind of a cop-out answer and like it's obviously not really helpful towards this exercise, but that's kind of how I always see it, where it's like, if I even get upset with her like for anything, I'm like, I'm not upset with you. I like just need to figure out how I'm going to handle this situation. Like, you know, like that kind of thing. Like the last thing that Kaylin and I even had a fuss about was I hate being like on a schedule, and I hate like being like, okay, we're going to be here on this day. Like, especially like when I'm driving the van, you know, cause everything kind of is like always moving around. Things are changing all the time. And she's going to meet me in Aspen in my hometown for a couple days. And she's like, okay, like what day should I meet you? I don't know. I don't know what day you should meet me. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. How am I supposed to know what's going to be happening next week? And then I could like feel myself like getting frustrated. And I was like, why am I responding this way? I don't know. I'm sorry. This is like misdirected anger. So, that's kind of like what I always think of myself. It's like, it's nothing she's doing wrong. It's always like the way that I'm just like reacting to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in that situation too, it's great that you're able to even go to the, you know, misdirected anger, because you've clearly got other things that are going on, and being directed towards the commitment of a timeline is like a lot right then. Ooh, you know?
Commitment's hard enough, especially timeline commitments, man.
Totally. When you're a road warrior and you're out there and you're just kind of going, you don't know what's going to come up that could impact your journey.
I'm like, listen, my check engine light's still on. I don't even know if I'm going to make it 100 miles from this point, but... but yeah, I like, we'll like have a full conversation, and then like, she's like, I know you hate, she'll like even say it. She's like, I know you hate like scheduling things or like expecting when you're supposed to be places, but like, I kind of need to know, like I need to book an airplane ticket. And I'm like, I don't know. Figure it out. You figure it out on your own. You book it and I'll be there. And I'm, you know, like that kind of thing. But yeah, it's definitely like, it's definitely not like an issue, but it's like one thing that we like bicker about sometimes.
Dean's just a paper bag flying through the wind.
She's looking to you for your leadership in that moment. You know, she's looking to you for leadership, and you're kind of like, I'm not ready to be a leader right this minute.
Well, it's not even, yeah, I guess you're absolutely right. It is kind of like a leadership thing, but it's like, I'm like, well, if you want to come, you like book your flight for when you want to be there. And I'll like figure out on my end how to get there when you want to be there. I don't want to be like, come on this day, because what if she really wanted to come on another day? It's like, I want her to make the decision on when she wants to come, and then I'll figure out the rest from there.
Jocelyn, I would just like to point out that you're getting an inside look of how we schedule the podcast. He's like, why are we going to do it every week at 12 o'clock on Friday? Like, sure, I'm free this Friday, but next Friday, who knows what the hell I'm going to be doing?
Yeah.
To be in the life in the head of
the
Dean.
The last like 3 weeks especially too. Or no, I think there was like 3 weeks in a row where I was like, hey, could we push the podcast back like 2 hours today? And every time they're like, no. I'm like, all right, I'll figure it out. In the last like 3 weeks alone, I was like, I like wanted to text so bad and be like, hey, can we push it? But I've been pretty good lately, I gotta say.
You've been great. I can't complain. You've been great lately.
And I've actually appreciated the listening and hearing that you're at the top of a mountain this day, and like, you know, figuring out the Wi-Fi connection that day. It's kind of, I'm living vicariously through you in those moments as well.
I like keeping people on their toes.
So in those moments, though, when Kaylin is wanting that leadership from you, it may even just be you being able to say, let me take a break, come back and think about it and get clear on like what a timeline could look like, and then actually go back to her and give her what she's looking for.
Yeah, no, I know I can handle that, all that stuff better. I'm working on it. Yeah, I like shut down when I like get annoyed, and I don't like being annoyed, but I don't know how to describe it. It's like, my thing is, it's like if it's your thing, you figure it out, and then we'll like find a way to come together. You know what I mean? But I understand your point of like just like making a decision and then sticking to that decision. Like, it definitely helps, especially with timelines and all that kind of stuff. Definitely something I'm working on. I would like to say that.
Jocelyn, I did want to get to one of the categories, future gazing. Well, Dean, I want you to play along, and Jocelyn, I want you to play along as well. And it says to list three power words or phrases that sum up how you want your relationship to be. So, Jocelyn, why don't you start? Because you've created the game, so you know how to play better than us. What are three words or three phrases that sum up the relationship that you want to be in?
Ooh, so in our relationship, we're committed to radical transparency. So that's one of the words that guides how we communicate.
What's the difference between transparency and radical transparency?
Radical transparency means I'm willing to be honest with you about really anything that comes up, And some of that may not always be pretty or what you want to hear, but I'm committed to telling you what my truth is in that moment, which is different than brutal honesty, to be honest, because brutal is like not being willing to soften maybe what you're experiencing. But for instance, for me, if there's a moment where, you know, my partner is perusing social media or he like checks out some woman and I'm like, oh, did you think she was hot? I would rather him say like, yeah, I think she's hot. I was like looking at her, not from a place of like him wanting to be with her, but just acknowledging like, yeah, I was like checking her out because of whatever, 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 right? Then being like, oh no, of course I wasn't. And actually going into a lie, because if he's willing to default to a lie on that, then what other things is he willing to default to a lie on, right? So I'm more accepting of his truth or his honesty in that moment than of allowing like there to be all these little gateways to lies and not non-truths.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, that is great.
On the podcast last week, I said it and I'll say it again. There's that Henry Thoreau quote that says, "More than love, more than fame, more than money, give me truth." And I think that really kind of really nails it. Like, just be radically transparent about everything that's going on, because yeah, you're gonna find other people attractive. I say that to Galen all the time. I like, it's funny, we've even gotten to the point where it's like I see like a hot guy walking down the street, I'm like, wow, that guy is really hot.
Dean is very like, complimentary.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah,
and it comes from a very secure place. That's
it's just like fun to talk about, because like I feel like a lot of couples are like ingrained to like only talk about how attractive you find each other, which is obviously absolutely true, but like there are still, it's a world full of attractive people out there, you know.
Yeah, and the hard conversations ultimately are like what bring you back together and allow you to continue to evolve over time. Like, we're not going to be the same people today that we are in, you know, even a month. Like I said that earlier in this conversation, I am going to be fundamentally a different person in 5 years. And Jared, I think you've mentioned that you guys are contemplating family and those types of moves as well. So what you want today is going to be different than what you want once you have a family and once you guys have kids that have left the house. So being able to be committed to like a full discussion is important.
Totally. And I think uncomfortable conversations are extremely important. We're kind of seeing that with race right now, specifically in the Bachelor franchise. And, you know, Emmanuel Acho, who's hosting the After Final Rose, he does the uncomfortable conversations with a black man, which are extremely engaging and great. So I advise everybody to go watch them, especially if you're a Bachelor fan, so you can familiarize with Emmanuel. But not just with race, but just relationships and your partner and having uncomfortable conversations, because life can be quite uncomfortable at times. And it's important to express yourself in radical transparency, as you said. So Dean, what is one word or phrase that describes a relationship you want to be in, bro?
Maybe like adventurous.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair. Adventurous relationship. Do you think Kaylin seems that she's very willing to be adventurous for you?
Well, I would like her to be adventurous for herself rather than adventurous for me, because that would just like mean she's doing what I want rather than doing what she wants. But I don't know. I think she's very courageous, especially when it comes to like traveling and all that kind of stuff. She's like just broadening her horizons and still working on it. But I think the more exposure she has to like taking risks and like getting outside of her comfort zone, the more keen she becomes to then do it later on. And I think that kind of comes like I didn't start doing all that stuff until I was the age that she's at now. So I've like kind of fully understood that I've got a 4-year head start on her. But yeah, that's kind of that's what I would say. What about you? What's yours?
Dean, I'm also curious. From Dean, if that adventurous translates into other areas of the relationship, not just like outdoor adventures or being willing to try new things, if uh-huh. that actually means just adventurous as like a personality type, sort of adventurous in all kinds of categories of your.
Oh, I mean, I think that's absolutely true. I think my biggest fear is like monotony or like normalcy. And I think by being adventurous, even just outside of like exploration and extreme activities and all that kind of stuff, like you don't have to be super into that stuff as long as you can be like a crazy, interesting person to hang out with. And I think being crazy, interesting kind of falls in hand with being adventurous. And that's what I appreciate so much about Kaylin, is even when we're not doing something that like is like physically stimulating, like skydiving or skiing or whatever, we can still like just hang out and like be like just throw complete curveballs at each other in terms of like being goofballs. And so that's what kind of what I appreciate. Like it maintains the excitement even when we're not doing anything exciting, you know.
And while our time is running out, but quickly, Jocelyn, I wanted to ask you, what are your two other phrases or words that you use to describe the relationship you want to be in?
Mine would also be fun and curious.
Curious is good.
Yeah, curiosity is really great. I'm just a voracious learner and curious. And so
curious
having
about
that
life,
both in our relationship and outside, is great. Yeah, curious about life, curious about each other, like all kinds of topics. If there's a question, I am curious to find out the answer. And I think that brings a lot of juju and juice into our relationship.
Yeah, that's for sure. I remember, I remember my cover letter out of college was whenever I was applying for jobs, I had a quote from Einstein that said, "I have no special talents. I'm only passionately curious." And I think that still holds some truth today. I think curiosity is very often overlooked, and it's like pretty important, I think, in terms of personality. But Jared, we haven't heard a single one from you. Let's hear one from you. What's your word that describes your relationship with Ashley?
I would say supportive. What's a good one? I'd say supportive. I mean, curiosity is a great one as well. Being curious about different aspects of life, just being curious about everything, I think is extremely important, and being open-minded. Because I have certain things that I really care about. And one of my favorite parts of my relationship with Ash is that she's so willing to invest in the things that I'm passionate about. And that means so much to me. Like, it sounds so stupid, but the fact that she goes to Patriot games with me and wears Tom Brady jerseys and like is just all about it, it just brings me so much joy that I get to share the experience of the things that I love with the person I want to, or even going to, you know, see superhero movies, which is something that I really enjoy, you know, being able to just share those experiences with Ashley and her being so open to wanting to experience those things with me because she knows how important they are to me is something that gives me so much gratitude towards her, and makes me so happy that, you know, she's my wife. So I'd say, you know, support would be a good one, caring, and then, you know, obviously, loving Tom Brady. Those are my three phrases right there.
Yeah. The last one carrying the most today. I agree. Open-mindedness, I think, is a good one. I'm going to steal that one. Open-mindedness, for mine and Kaylin as well. And the third and final one for me is, consistent. And I think, one thing that I haven't had in a lot of relationships, both romantic and platonic through friends, is consistency. And so I appreciate how Kaylin and Mai's relationship isn't like volatile. Like, we don't like yell at each other. We don't like get super upset with each other. It's very consistent, very like comfortable. And I think that like all of my anxiety melts away because I know that we're not going to be like, you know, pins and needles, hot and cold kind of thing. So I think those were good nine adjectives to describe relationships, guys. I'm really proud of us.
Crushing it.
It's all because of the game. So everybody needs to go check out happypartnersproject.com. Check out the Happy Partners Project check-in deck.
Nailed it.
That's so cool. This game is amazing. If you guys are in relationships, or even if you're just starting off with someone and you want to get to know them more and really build upon your relationship, you should definitely get this card game. Once again, go to happypartnersproject.com. Jocelyn Johnson, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You were great.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jocelyn. Welcome back, Suck Army. Thank you so much for sticking through the commercials and getting back with us here. So we are going to go ahead and kind of keep on going with the crazy or not crazy bit. And then we're going to jump into one quick email before getting out of here. Jared, it sounds like you have the crazy, am I crazy list in front of you, right?
That I do, my friend. So one person was called crazy because they said I was overthinking everything when I would only ask questions. I'm not going to lie, that sounds a little crazy. I can totally see how someone could be perceived as a little nutty by overthinking every aspect. And the only reason I say that is because I overanalyze everything in my life. And I self-describe myself as a little cuckoo.
Yeah, I I would never call Caitlin crazy for asking questions, but sometimes she asks a lot of questions, and I'm like, why do any of these questions matter? Like, just none of these matter to anything. Like, they're just pointless questions. But no, then she's like, I just want to know. And I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything. Like, obviously, you have every right to know. So I'm the crazy one in that situation. I think it's fine to ask questions. What's wrong with being curious?
Yeah, it's fine to ask questions. But sometimes when I ask questions, like you said, I get so worried about certain things, which is why I'm asking questions. And then I have like a moment where I have to center myself and realize none of this matters. Like, it just go outside, enjoy the fresh air. You know, you're fine. You're fine. What are you stressing about? So that's how I perceived this crazy or not with asking questions. Because sometimes I ask too many questions and it's like, right, why are you worried about these things? And you're like, I don't know. I'm just crazy.
There are crazy questions. Like, let's say someone's unsure about like the sanctitude of the relationship and they're asking like, where are you going? Who are you going when they're with? Is there going to be any girls there? Are you guys going to drink? Like, there's definitely a line that gets crossed that goes from being inquisitive, like curious, to being crazy. And I think that line is, you know, it can be crossed pretty easily. But yeah, I don't know. Crazy, but only kind of crazy.
Somebody said that their significant other called them crazy because she said that she thought it was weird that he put his, quote, boys' nights in his calendar. Listen, boys' nights are very important. We need that. Like, sometimes I just need, like, guy talk.
I don't think that's crazy. Yeah, I agree. It's like, I think it would be nice to be, like, if, let's say the girlfriend was, like, trying to plan a dinner or something, and he's like, let me check my calendar real quick. Oh, wait, I have boys' night scheduled that night. I can't do it. Like, it kind of makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you put it in your calendar if it's something that you're looking forward to?
Totally. Like, your entire schedule, like, my entire schedule revolves around Ashley. So if I want to have a, quote, boys' night and, like, play poker or something, I have to write that in my calendar and schedule it out because I know that she's going to, like, Ashley makes my schedule pretty much. She's the one who's like, we're doing this that day, this that day, this that day. So the only way I'm going to be able to make any plans with my friends is by scheduling it ahead of time and putting it in the calendar, like 2 months ahead of time.
Right. And it kind of like lets you off the hook. Like, let's say you're like, oh, sorry, I can't do that. I was going to go hang out with my friends. And then you could like, she could be like, or he could be like, whoever is like, you know, trying to make the plans, like the other person could be like, I'm going to get to the point. Like, oh, you're just saying that because you want to get out of the plans that I'm trying to make right now. And you could be like, no, look, this has been in my calendar for a long time. I'm going to boys' night.
Oh, totally. All right. We'll have one more crazy. And listen, we're not calling these people crazy, Soccer Army. Just want to make sure that you don't think we're like shaming these people. It's all for parody. Come on now. But one more crazy or not question, answer, whatever you want to call it. Asking my person to always back me up and be on my side. I mean, I don't think that's crazy at all. Like, I'm pretty sure I've told Ashley, like, oh, yeah, if you killed someone, I'd still have your back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, that's a little crazy, I guess. I mean, obviously, it would depend on what the scenario was. If she just, like, straight up murdered someone. That's like the definition of
crazy. I don't think I can't let you off the hook on that one. There's definitely things that Caitlin could do that I'd be like, what the hell did you do that for? Like, that's kind of messed up. In fact, I think I've done that before where I'm like, that's kind of silly of you to do, and I don't support that. But that's also because I'm crazy. But I think it's kind of crazy to, like, blindly support someone or something that's, like, out of your control entirely.
Yeah, it's a tough one, though, because, like, love makes you do crazy things. So, like, sometimes you back up people when you know they're in the wrong because you love them and you care about them and you want to support them.
I don't know. That's like saying I love America regardless of what happens. No, that's not true at all. America could f*** the bed.
Well, kind of f***ed bed. I'm not, I don't love America like that, but I love Ashley like that. I'd say I love my parents like that. Like, God forbid something happened.
Here's
my parents.
The thing. If Caitlin went out and murdered someone, I would be like, whoa, I'm sorry. I'm getting the heck out of here.
I'm out. See ya.
I don't need an explanation. Unless it was an accident. Yeah, fine. I guess I could, like, see past that. But if she, like,
straight up turned into homicide, Michael Myers.
Yeah, I'd be like, nope, sorry. I'm out. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'm saying it. I'll shame people too, including you. That's crazy, and I think that you should be shamed. Let's get to an email before we give too much flack to any of our suck army. So, Mark, you want to read an email for us?
Well, Mark actually dipped out, but we have the wonderful, amazing voice of an angel, Easton, here to read our wonderful emails.
You know, I agree to do this stuff just because you guys seem to levy huge compliments on me every time. So I appreciate that.
Hey, anytime. That's what we're here for, Easton.
Easton, before you read this email, I have a feeling that Jared and I are about to say the same thing. I would just like to paint a picture for our listening audience. Easton is looking very dashing in a nice green crew neck sweatshirt. Green, I don't think I've ever seen you wear that color before, Easton, but boy, oh boy, it looks very good on you.
Thank you very much, Dean. I don't own a lot of green. This is a California Adventure sweatshirt from 2001 that I bought on eBay. So.
I love it. Nice. And Easton, I was just going to say, I watched the finale of WandaVision, and I need to talk to you about it off air, obviously. No spoilers.
Is that show good? Because I watched the first episode, and I was like, this show sucks.
It's good. It's a great show. It's so good.
It is good. It is good. But I think Easton and I are going to be have some disagreements about how good it is.
Wow.
For a non-comic book fan, is it a good show, you think? Or is it kind of like you have to like kind of be entrenched in the universe a little bit?
I think it's great if you're a non-comic. My wife does not give a rat's ass about these things, and she loved it. It was her favorite thing Marvel's done.
Nice.
I agree. Okay. I think there's a lot of good in it, and I don't think you need to be a super fan to know what's happening. I think you need to be a Superman to like really, really appreciate everything that's happening in the show. Mm-hmm. But no, you could totally casually watch it and be like, oh, that was really good.
Cool. Good to know.
Anyway, enough about WandaVision.
All right, let's do an email here. This is from Anonymous. Those are our favorites. So Nick Vial, imagine
Thank you,
him
for sending your email.
Asking this question. I have always been told that men have a higher sex drive than women, especially at my age. I'm a female at 21 years of age. My boyfriend's 22. We've been dating for 4 years, and our sex life has always been on his timeline. When we started dating, we were really young, and we were on the same page. But recently, it's been short and infrequent. There are other red flags in the relationship, but they're all related to drinking. We hang out one-on-one mostly, and he is always drinking. Is this normal in your opinion? Is this normal for young people? Is this reasonable grounds to end a relationship? It's starting to feel like we don't line up, and I'm not sure how much of a red flag that is for our future.
Tricky.
That's tough. And the reason I said, when she said 21 female, because I was going to try to make a joke about Nick being a 21-year-old female, but really just fell flat. Yeah, this one's tough because I don't know enough about the situation. Like, normally, of course, you're like, oh, a 22-year-old guy, like, he wants to have sex every 5 minutes. But it obviously depends on the individual, depends on the scenario. Like, I'll be very transparent. When I first started, you know, getting into that aspect of life in my late teens, early 20s, like I had struggles sometimes because it's just it's a learning curve. And sometimes I didn't know why I was having difficulties. It just sometimes would happen that way. The human body is a curious thing. Curious seems to be the word of the podcast. So it could be his own insecurities coming out because he feels like maybe he's underwhelming in that department. I don't really know. Or it could be a major red flag and he's not sexually attracted to you. The only thing I didn't like was when she said, our sex life has always been on his timeline. I don't really know what that means. Like, oh, you guys only have sex when he wants to. That's not fair.
Sounds like that. And it probably is, whenever he finishes, it's over kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got that vibe too.
Well, that's kind of what I interpreted as. I think what's important to do with this one is start from the back and work our way forward. So she, at the very end, she says, is this enough of a reason to end the relationship? And I just want to go ahead and say, absolutely. Yes, it totally is. And I don't think you should even feel bad for ending a relationship because your partner is drinking so much. Like, have the conversation with him, see if he wants to change. If he doesn't, 1,000%, that's your decision to make. And I would support it if you decided to leave the relationship. 4 years also is a long time. I don't know. You guys have obviously been in long-term relationships. I'm not going to go ahead and speak on behalf of your sex lives. I'm just going to go ahead and say, on average, I would suspect it's like a normal downward trending line in terms of frequency. At least in my own experience, I can speak in terms of that. That's definitely how it's gone. And I would like to point out too, Jared kind of said it, like, you know, you're 22 years old. I drank a lot when I was 22 years old. I'm 29 now. I drink a little bit, but not nearly as much as I did back then. I think that's like a perfectly normal thing to do. But I do want to like point out and emphasize, you shouldn't feel guilty for leaving a relationship because of alcohol. Like, if you think he's drinking too much, get out of the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking about, like, they've been in a relationship for 4 years. They're like, what, in their early 20s? Like, yeah, he's going to drink a lot. And also, when you've been dating someone for, that's a long time. Like, you know, that's longer than I've been married. That's a long time. If you've been dating someone for that long, yeah, it's going to go down. But I think what you need to do is just talk to him about, be like, hey, these are things that are troubling me. And I'm sure he's a very supportive and engaging partner, and he's willing to hear if you have a problem. I know I would want to know. My biggest fear is that I'm doing something that's making my partner unhappy, and I have no idea, because men are clueless and they think everything we do is perfect.
Wait, it's not?
Yeah, exactly. So she just needs to talk to him about it. But also, like Dean said, you know, these are things that are important to you in a relationship, and you shouldn't feel guilty if you want to end it for those reasons. 4 years is a long time, but yeah.
Anonymous, this is what I think you should do. I think you should go to happypartnersproject.com, pick yourself up a Happy Partners Project check-in deck, okay? Because I think you need to check into your relationship. You say you want to play this game with him, and then you make sure that the card on top is about sex, and be like, oh, look at this. You know, like, how many times a week do you want to have sex? And then it can just get the conversation, the ball rolling. So you can be like, hey, listen, these are some of my insecurities. It feels like we're not as intimate anymore. You've been drinking a lot. I would definitely not come about it in an accusatory way. I would try to come about it from an understanding and a place of care, and say, I love you. I want to be with you. But these are things that are concern me. Cause it's tough. It's tough having serious conversations when you're in your early 20s. Cause, like, you know, you're just having fun. You're 21 and 22 and you have your whole life ahead of you. And so I would try to have a serious conversation, but not going to say it's going to be easy, but that would be my advice.
It's funny how quick we are to talk about sex with our friends. But then when it comes to the actual people that we're having it with, we're like, kind of, you know, like, we tiptoe around the subject a lot. Like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I didn't really like start asking girls what they preferred romantically until I was like 26, 27 years old. And I'm like, why did I wait so long to start asking these questions that seem like I should have been asking them since the very beginning?
It's hard though. Cause like,
but yeah, I think
it's hard because I was just going to say, like, as a guy, you're like expected to know. I'd say that's the one thing that sucks about being a dude, even though I'm very grateful to be a guy, especially while seeing Ashley trying to get pregnant. Like, there's a lot that goes into the human body. It's just like, as a guy, at least in my 20s, I was always operating under the fear that, like, it would be unsexy if I asked them what they liked, you know, because it just, as a guy, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to know these things. I'm supposed to take control and, you know, be the one who pleasures her, you know?
Yeah. I remember building up the courage to ask the girl I was having sex with, like, in high school, like, what am I doing wrong? What do you like? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know what I like. And, you know, and she's like, just do whatever you want. And I remember feeling like, oh, that's nice. that's messed up. It's not about me.
Yeah, I feel grateful just to be having sex with you. Yeah,
exactly.
I agree, though. It's silly. It's like, yeah, we're expected to know. But then do we also think that they're expected to know what we like? Because not to get too like graphic or anything, but like, I feel like women are conditioned to think that guys don't like hand jobs. I fully enjoy that. I think that's probably one of my top two favorite things. But like, girls, I think, just, you know, they assume because guys always talk so negatively about them. I don't know, but you're right. I think radical transparency, as Jocelyn put it, is the most important thing. And to our anonymous emailer, like Jared said, go on that website and try and see if you can spark some conversations, because it does sound like that could be pretty beneficial, and try and practice some radical transparency. But that was good. That seems helpful, in my opinion. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Jared from his closet in California, and me from my van in Rawlins, Wyoming. We would like to thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Thank you to Easton for reading the email for us and for sharing his story about him being able to do whatever he wanted with his high school sexual partner. That's always nice to hear. Thank you to Jocelyn as well. Jared, where could our listeners find Jocelyn's resources?
You go to happypartnersproject.com. That's where you can learn more about Jocelyn, learn more about the Happy Partners Project check-in deck, which is just a fantastic name.
Yeah, there you go. Check it out. And be sure to tune in next week because it's going to be a great episode. And you know what? Maybe we'll suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.